amen and amen again. I don't have enough amens. If I had 10,000 tongues, I could not praise my him God. Enough. Now, I don't know about you, but don't try to count them, y'all. We won't get there. We might get tired. I just count it done. If I had 10,000 of them, I couldn't praise you enough. We invite your attention to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, and we're going to start in chapter 21, and then we're going to shift over, and it should say chapter 27 and not chapter 21, okay? But we're going to start Matthew 21, verses 8 through 11. Hallelujah. And reading the King James Version today. And it says, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. They spread them along the path that he was going to travel. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Yeah.
And then it says in verse 10, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. It said all the city was moved. All the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And then in chapter 27, verses 20 through 22. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified.
My God.
Hallelujah. 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 What a few days difference will make. Hallelujah. 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 And today, we just have a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord. Says the weak, the atmosphere kept shifting.
My God.
The weak, the atmosphere kept shifting. Now, I don't know about you. But we find that there's a lot of things that happen in life. We find, especially in light of our current situations, that week by week and day by day and month by month, the atmosphere around us is shifting.
Yes.
We realize that as we look at the atmosphere around us, that things are not what they used to be. We realize as we look at the atmosphere around us, things tomorrow or the next few days won't be what they are today.
My Lord.
And so because of that, we realize that we have reached a pinnacle in many of our lives that we've either had enough, don't want any more of what's going on, or we are really looking for a change.
My God.
Some people are not only looking for a change, they are making a change.
Amen.
In spite of what the atmosphere says, we see that they have made a change. Now, I know it's been over a year. It's been over a year since we have huddled together, with the exception of one day. We have not been together in worship. And that one day came to celebrate the homegoing of Sister Carol. Other than that, we have not been together in worship for over a year now. And some of us, and I'm not talking about you or anyone specific, some of us are ready for a change.
Amen.
Some others are not ready for a change. Lots of different reasons, but I yield to you that in the atmosphere around us, we see the dichotomy that exists between one way of thinking and another way of thinking. We have and just for current events, we have a vaccine. However, everyone has not received the vaccine. We have different atmospheres regarding the vaccine. Some people are fearful and frantic that it's taking too long. Still others are at peace that whenever I get it, I'll get it. Still others in the atmosphere are going, it's of the devil, it's evil, I'm not going to take it. Still others are sitting here saying, well, you know, to take it might cause me harm. So there are so many atmospheres at work about, but this is not a new thing. Let me tell you what some of the psychologists are saying. They're saying because we have been stressed for so long that certain things start to happen. When we're in a stress mode, it's been proven by the psychologists and the doctors that when we're in a stress mode, our stress mode creates the hormone cortisol. And what happens is the cortisol, when we have an overabundance of it, it inhibits some of our functions. For some people, it caused them to be fearful.
Mm.
For some people, it caused them to seek joy and pleasure. For still other people, it causes them to be in a place of not even being able to decide what to do. They go into a sort of a psychotic trance. They can't think, they can't eat, they can't move, they can't understand. They're frozen in time because of stress. It's because of stress, that's what it does. But the other thing that happens is because we're in a stress mode and we got this overabundance of cortisol, it stops some things, but it creates another on the other side of the brain, it creates another hormone called dopamine. And the dopamine operates on our reward center. and we know what the reward center is, right? The reward center tells us I want what I want and I'm going to do it when I do it. Okay, now, how does the reward center play out in our lives? And I'm not talking about your specific life. You understand. For some people, they overeat. Oh, when I get stressed, they overeat. They eat everything inside. For other people, they overshop. Ooh, I've been wanting this and I'm going to go get this. And no matter what the bills say, no matter what my budget say, I don't have to worry. I'm going to do it. For still other people, they get into a mode of I'm going to cause pain on other people by gossiping or murmuring. Still other people, it's about I don't care what's good for the big group. I'm going to do what y'all see it today. We know without a shadow of a doubt that being in large groups together and congregating together without vaccinated people, without masks, is going to do what? Spread the virus. Yet we see the reward center, those who are hyped up on dopamine, going to spring break, going to eat together, going to congregate together, denying and not caring about any. And I'm not saying they're wrong, y'all. I'm just saying that's what dopamine does. I'm going to do what I want to do. We hear some others saying, look, I'm taking a vacation no matter what. It doesn't make the news, but there's a large part of our society today that have taken vacations in spite of what's going on and have come home and now they're sick. That ain't got nothing to do with the right. That's choices we make. We understand that, right? We see it on the news over and over and over.
My Lord.
Stress mode. We see killing after killing after killing after killing. I don't need to hear, for me and some others they do, I don't need to hear about the mass killings because we see daily mass killings every day.
Mercy, Lord.
They happen on this street and on that street. They happen on this neighborhood and that neighborhood. It used to go, well, it's only in the city, but now we're seeing it ain't just in the city, it's some of our neighbors. We see it ain't just in the city, it's across the street. We see it ain't in the city, it's in the rich and it's in the poor equally alike. We see that because we are doing what we want to do, this atmosphere keeps shifting.
Mercy, Lord.
I think back, and I said, well, what did our ancestors and forefathers do? What did they do? How did they handle this? You know, history can be a repeat. How did my daddy and my granddaddy and my great-granddaddy and all of our ancestors deal with these kinds of things? Well, we've got record. We've got record that we were taught to what? Love your neighbor as thyself, right?
Man.
Treat other people how you wanted to be treated, right? That's what I was told, and I'm sure some of you were told. We also said, well, if you work hard to get certain things, you can afford yourself certain liberties. You can change the atmosphere. We can change from being slaves, and we can become owners. We can change from being in bondage to poverty, and we can be released from that. We can change from not being able to enjoy some of the nicest type things in life. And you know, but yet we were also told, no matter what it is you get, don't forget about those that you can help.
Yes.
Don't forget about those who are less fortunate. You know the story. Stress has changed some of those things. But we were told we could shift the atmosphere. We could make a difference. There are men and women who made a determination in their neighborhood. You couldn't bring your crime on this block.
All right.
I'm going to let you know that you can't do that around here because this is our neighborhood. And we're going to make sure that you live according to some type of standard. But the more that we have been stressed and have been dealing with the dopamine hormone in our lives, the more we have forgotten about the neighborhood and only take care of ourselves. So what it means? Shifting the atmosphere. Well, first, let's talk about what is the atmosphere? This week that the atmosphere kept shifting. This week that we call the Holy Week, this week between Palm Sunday and Easter, this week that so many things happened, and for you and I, the best thing has ever existed happened during this week. That's the end of the story. Jesus died and he rose. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody else short there. But what is the atmosphere? The atmosphere. Some people scientifically call the atmosphere the gaseous envelope of a celestial body, such as a planet, the air of a locality, the stuffy atmosphere of the waiting room. And y'all know there's a big debate today, right? About the atmosphere. There's a big debate whether the atmosphere pressure around the earth is evaporating. And if it evaporates, guess what? We'll all be walking around with oxygen masks because guess what? The air won't be no good. Y'all know that's a big debate, right? Why do we have smog and why we need electric cars and why we got to do away with gasoline and coal? That's a big debate, and they measure it. And they're saying scientifically, some on one side and some on the other side. And I'm not here to debate which one is right. I'm here to say that's what they're talking about. But then there's a third definition. It says a surrounding influence or environment. This one gets personal to each of you. We have an atmosphere.
Thank you, Lord.
That atmosphere is who we are. That atmosphere is who we represent. That atmosphere determines those who come into our presence. You know, the stuffy atmosphere of the waiting room, the warming atmosphere when somebody comes into your presence. We set the tone of there is an atmosphere in your household. There is an atmosphere in your car. There is an atmosphere. You know, some people call it my space. Oh, yeah, y'all heard it. You're too close to my space. Anybody been getting upset when somebody gets closer than 6 feet to them? Sometimes. So, hey, wait a minute. You too close. I remember when this thing started, I was at an Office Depot to get my census badge, and they had it marked 6 feet apart, and I was standing on my ex, and a young lady walked in, and she walked up right behind me, closer to me than her ex, and I started to look at her a certain way. I said, okay, God said, just be still. Because I wanted to turn around and say, you know, you're a little close. He said, I didn't tell you to be afraid of, just be still. And when they moved up, she moved up to my ex when I moved to the, and there she was. He didn't say argue about it, just be still. But my space, we've been arguing about my space forever. Somebody gets in your face. Hey, you too close. I don't know you like that. And y'all know we've learned tactics, right, to get people off of us. Oh, y'all ain't never done this, but hey. I've been guilty. Hey, you want a tic tac? So y'all want to be y'all so super safe today. Y'all want to be so super safe. You ain't never gave nobody a tic tac or a piece of gum because they invaded your space and your atmosphere. Come on now. But that's what the atmosphere is. We got synonyms of the aura, the ambiance, the environment, or the mood. There's an atmosphere, and guess what? God controls, Jesus the Christ controls our atmosphere.
Yeah.
What we're going to see today, how this atmosphere shifted in this last week. This the week the atmosphere kept shifting. It kept shifting, y'all, one way, then another, then one other, then another. Well, what does the word say? Well, let's look at the word. The atmosphere on this Palm Sunday, that the atmosphere was shifting towards the victory of Jesus. Right before this passage of scripture here in Matthew 21, we realized that the atmosphere was going to shift.
Yes.
Why? Because we understand that Jesus had just done some things. Jesus had gone out and he had done some things, that he had raised, he had healed the sick. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And now here he was, ready to go into Jerusalem. And the atmosphere was shifting.
Yes.
People were recognizing him for who he was. People were coming from miles and miles around. And he said, on this Palm Sunday morning, when it drew nigh, he said, what? Go to the village. He gave some instructions. He was preparing the parade, as we would call it today. Jesus didn't call it a parade. He called it his triumphal entry. He called it where now I've got to go. I've got to begin this last journey of shifting the atmosphere.
Jesus.
He knew where he was going. The people didn't understand it, but Jesus said, I'm on my way to Calvary, y'all. He said, first off, I got to descend into Jerusalem. So he had to go down into Jerusalem, y'all, but he had to go a certain way. He didn't go say, okay, here I am. I'm the Messiah. I'm he. I got all power. Y'all bow down. He didn't do that. He had to go in such a way that was him, in a humble way. He had to go not to look like the kings of the world, but shift the atmosphere out of humility to serve his Father. He had to go as if he was a nobody.
My Lord.
So he said, y'all go. I don't want a horse, y'all. I don't need a horse. He said, go in and get the donkey. He said, when you get there, you're not going to be accused of stealing nothing. You tell them that the master have need. Just so they went and, you know, ordinarily you'll be accused of stealing, taking something not yours, and that would be a right for dying, or still cutting off your head or whatever the ruler. But he said, no, tell them the master has need.
Yes.
And as they did it, they brought back, the scriptures say, the ass or the colt, the donkey, y'all. And when they brought it back, the atmosphere was already starting to shift. Because the disciples had done something to prove to somebody that the master wanted, and they had accepted that the master called for their donkey. Mm. So the atmosphere was already starting to shift. And when they came back with the donkey, the scripture tells us in verses 8 through 11, and it said, and a very great multitude. And if you go to verse 7, it says, people laid their clothes. They didn't have time to make nothing, y'all. They didn't say, well, I'm making this for Jesus and give it. They took their clothes And they put it on him so his skin wouldn't touch. That's what you did with royalty, y'all. Y'all covered it up. And then they said, what? They took their garments and what? Royalty, you didn't walk or come across the grass. Y'all know what the red carpet. Red carpet came from this. Somebody missed that. Somebody missed it. Y'all know what happened when they have parade and they're throwing petals all over it. This came from this, y'all. This was the custom. So they took their cloth and then they drew palm branches. That's the reason we have, because the palm represented what they laid on the ground for Jesus to travel. That was what? The entrance of the king.
Yes.
Y'all don't understand the significance of the donkey, and some people argue is that what? He had to be lowly.
Amen.
He couldn't be the glamorous king on a horse, you know, the big white stallion or the black stallion or brown stallion. It was lowly. And the donkey was only used for one thing. It was to bear the burden.
Yes.
The donkey carried the weight, y'all. The donkey carried the food and the materials, y'all. It was just a worker. It just bore the burden. And so here Jesus, who he knew he was going to shift the atmosphere by carrying our burden, what? Came on a donkey.
Yes.
He was the burden. Somebody say, I know him as a burden bearer, a heavy load.
My God.
Somebody ought to see. My you ought God. To get that. Yeah. So here he was in a multitude. And then they cried. They cried. They made a noise. They shifted the atmosphere as if, we do it what? For parades when Santa Claus come to, just on yesterday, somebody was crying and having parades today because the Easter Bunny was taking pictures. And y'all know we do it on Thanksgiving Day when the parade, and we do it for people who have been put in the office. But here they were, a parade for the ultimate king who was going to shift the atmosphere. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna to the son of David. Oh, no, y'all get there right. They didn't say the son of Joseph. The son of Mary. They said, no, the son of David.
Yeah.
They were believing what the prophecy had said. The son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And they said, when he came into Jerusalem, look, y'all see this now. Not some of the city, not one or two folks, not my little group over here, or my little group, the city was moved. All the city was moved. Saying, who is this? Oh, we don't know who he is, but who is this that's coming here? Who's creating this ruckus? Who's this marching on the donkey? Who's this that got palm leaves thrown everywhere? Who's this got people ripping off their clothes? Who's this that got everybody's attention? Somebody shifted the atmosphere of the city.
Yes.
And he said, and the multitude said, the multitude, the people in the crowd said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So Jesus had shifted the atmosphere.
Yes.
At the beginning of the week, on the first day of the week, Jesus, on this day, Jesus shifted the atmosphere. Somebody here on this call today, somebody who will listen later, you understand that when you met Jesus, when you came into the presence of Jesus, when you acknowledged Jesus, he shifted your atmosphere. He showed you he's got victory. He showed you your life is valuable. He showed you somebody loves you. He showed you that you are not fear none. He showed you to take a stand. He showed you can wave your hand. He showed you can sing a song and you can do your dance. He shifted your atmosphere. When pain came your way, when medical situations have come your way, when job situations have come, he shifts your atmosphere. You're not afraid no more. You're not afraid of the enemy. You will pray. You will sing. You will dance. Yeah. Then you will declare. Did we not hear it over and over and over? How God shifts our atmosphere.
Amen. My God.
On the first part of the week.
Mm.
You don't have to believe me. Look at the book of John. Look at John 6 and 14 and 15. We see that Jesus, the Son of God, kept shifting the atmosphere. And in John 6 and 14 and 15 said, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus said, this is a truth that a prophet that should come into the world When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself. He shifted the atmosphere by performing a miracle, but the people wanted to make him a king. And he said, no, 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 you can't make me a king. I am a king and my time is not there yet, but I still shifted the atmosphere. I did something in front of y'all that made you know I am somebody.
Yes, yes.
Y'all get it. Y'all get it back here right here in Matthew. Right here in Matthew 21st verse. Verses 14 and 15. Look, when Jesus made this entrance, okay, and then Jesus went to the temple. He went to the temple, his house, and he said, wait a minute, I got to shift this atmosphere. So there was some stuff going on in the temple that was not about God, his father, and Jesus, according to the scripture, he threw them out. So y'all selling stuff that's holy and shouldn't be selling to make money? Get out of my house. Oh, somebody gonna hear that today. We can't go up in God's house any other way other than to worship. He said, you making my house a den of thieves? He said, that's not good enough. But then look how he shifted. After he cleared out the rhetoric and cleared out the garbage, he made his house. He shifted the atmosphere. It's cut down, they're not selling. He said, look, at 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he did what? He healed them. And right 14, he said, he wasn't about making money. He wasn't about corrupting and filling their pockets. He said, they came to him, and he healed them. He shifted the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Do you go to worship to be healed? Do you go to worship to let God do what God can do and nobody else? Do you come into the house in God's place to let him do what he's going to do? Or do you come to be seen? Do you come to make money? Do you come to be like the world? No, Jesus shifted the atmosphere that week. He said, you come into my house to make it a deal, you got to go. The reason we come here is to be healed, to be set aside, to be sanctified and revived. I come into his house to magnify the Lord.
Amen.
And worship him.
Yes.
Because I come to magnify the Lord and worship him, I am healed of my pain. I am healed of my infirmities. I am healed of my doubt. I am healed of my pride. I am healed of whatever it is that separates me from Christ Jesus. He said, that's what the word says right there. But understand, we talk about shifting the atmosphere. Look at verse 15. He said, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Continuing the worship that has shifted the atmosphere. The religious leaders were displeased. So this first week, we find that Jesus came to shift the atmosphere towards his victory, to give hope to the hopeless, to give healing to those who are sick, to give praise and to worship those and call them to worship him. For he is what? The Son of God. To give glory to his Father, not to himself, but to his Father. So the atmosphere shifts this week towards the victory. Then we understand that, we understand as we look at the rest of this word today, we understand that what? The atmosphere of deception and defeat. Even though Jesus was shifting the atmosphere, there was an atmosphere of deception and defeat. Go to Matthew 27 and 18 through 20, and it says, For envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. This atmosphere, the atmosphere that was shifting towards victory, was now shifting towards defeat. Why? Because the crowd, which once had praised Jesus, and we'll get to that in a few verses, was now what? Saying, destroy Jesus. Mm-hmm. They were now not looking to follow Jesus. Now, I don't know what happened at the first part. Well, no, I do know what happened. At the first part of the week, we want to praise and worship, but by the end of the week, Now we want nothing to do with him. By the end of the week, he was the enemy. By the end of the week, somebody got to somebody to shift the atmosphere.
Yes.
Well, what happened? What happened? People happen, y'all. The leaders happen, y'all. They got jealous. They got upset. They began to place and they began to say and they began to talk about how you don't do this. And they began to plant lies because he was taking away their power, the power that was going to be surrendered to Jesus. You don't have to believe me. The Bible talks about what happens. Look at James 1, 6 through 8. And Brother James, we're just using your name because it's in the Bible. But look at what the enemy did here, right? Look at what the enemy, I know Brother James wouldn't do this because he's a man of faith. He said, but let them ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, those at the beginning of the week who were praising him, those who at the beginning of the week who were laying down their clothes, those who at the beginning of the week who were had palm leaves thrown around. He said, what? He said, but let them ask, not wavering. Say, you can't go back and forth. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be one moment up and one moment down. Say, let them ask in faith, because we're supposed to count in joy, right? But without wavering like a wave of the sea driven by the wind, you ain't going to be tossed. He said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable and all. So what we find is that because there was a shift in atmosphere, there were some around there that were double-minded. Around there that wasn't anchored in Christ. There was some around there that didn't believe. So the atmosphere of deception was able to creep in.
Mercy, Lord.
The atmosphere of deception was able to try and shift. So it's like the wind. One minute the wind blows to the north and the next it blows to the south. And they'll tell you it's a northerly wind or a southerly wind or an eastern or a westerly wind. But what they can never say is when the wind is swirling, they don't know how to describe that. They get all tongue-tied. Well, you know, it starts here, but then it goes over here. So you just got to be prepared for whatever. You don't believe me? Look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter, the atmosphere will shift, y'all. The atmosphere will shift, y'all. The atmosphere of deception and defeat. He said in 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, verses 12 through 14, he says, look, but then, and there's a reason that it shifts for us, he said, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken, destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You're talking about spiritual things, but you know nothing about spiritual things. You're going to perish and destruction because you're trying to give people advice about things you know nothing about. So here's what happened, and it happens all the time. I got friends and people I know and strangers that I meet. They're putting the virus down, and they're saying it ain't good, and Christians are believing what they say, but they're not Christians, and we haven't asked God, so we made a decree, I won't take the virus, when the truth of the matter, Lord, yes or no? And if God say yes, that's who tells you what to do. If God say no, that's what. But you can't listen to somebody who don't understand spiritual things about spiritual things.
My God.
Amen.
Oh, well, this is a virus, Rev. It ain't spiritual. Wrong. Anything that affects your life is a spiritual thing. Yes. So everything that we do ought to be what? Directed by the spirit that lives within us.
Amen.
Now, I'm not telling anybody to take it or not to take it. That's your conversation with God. Yes. As for me and mine, we're going to take it. Because my victory is not in the virus. My victory is in Jesus. Yes. And if Jesus say, take it, I put it there, I'll take it. If he told me no, I wouldn't. End of story. But it's in Jesus. He said, look, amen, that's what happened. And shall receive the reward of the unrighteous as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime.
Amen.
We're operating after things of people who don't know what God says, and we take it as the gospel. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, like what? They feast with you, having eyes full of what? Adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised, what coveted practices, and cursed children. Say, these people are not trying to shift the atmosphere and keep it like it was at the beginning of the week. They're trying to tear down the kingdom of God. They're trying to create doubt and deceit in your life. But thank you, Sister Jerry. You said, since I was a little child, God told me he will never leave me nor forsake me. So now in my old age, in my older age, let me say, my older age, I can stand on the promises of God for my young age. But guess what? Yes. No matter what condition I am, whether I see you in a year or I don't see you in a year, I still stand on the promise that God is with me. Whether this person move or that person move or this person go away, I stand on the promise that God is still with me. Whether I can hug you or I can't hug you, and I love to hug you to show the life of God, I still stand on the promises that God's got you in the palm of his hand. God's got you in his. So no matter what is said, the atmosphere ain't gonna shift. I'm not gonna be deceived, and we will not be defeated.
My God.
I gotta tell you, that's what the Lord said. That's what the Lord said. And guess what? Here's the last thing he said. The truth still shifts the atmosphere. The truth still shifts the atmosphere. It's in the word. Look at here. Look at verse 19, and then we're going to look at verses 22. Look at verse 19. There's a truth that said in verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, when he had taken his seat, his wife sent unto him saying, look, have thou nothing to do with that just man. Ooh, there's a truth spoken by his wife. Nothing to do with that just man. She didn't say that man. She said that just man. That man, Jesus, had done nothing wrong. That's the truth of the matter. She said, don't have nothing to do. Why? Because she said, look at here. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. In a dream. She said, I had a dream. And if we have anything to do with him, there's going to be some problems. Don't have nothing to do against shifting the atmosphere against this man. This man is just. This man is true. This man is righteous. He is who they say.
My God.
We are often challenged to stand on what we believe.
Yes.
Did not we see that today in our Sunday school? Obadiah was challenged. He said, oh, wait a minute, Elijah. You asking me to go here and tell him I know where you are and you coming when I've been telling him all this time? You know I've been for, why do I got it? You know I've been good to the prophets. You know I hit them, but now I got to say something that might reveal where I was. But he's last year, he said, just go tell him. I surely would show up. So the truth shifts the atmosphere.
Man.
That's what he found out here. Now, let's go look at 20 to 22. He said, what? But the chief priests and elders, they were back in point two. The chief priests and the elders, they what said what? They, I told you, you need to ask for Barabbas. So we can destroy Jesus. Was that truth? No, it was not. That was a lie. They wanted to shift the atmosphere by deception. They wanted to shift the atmosphere by lying. They wanted to shift the atmosphere by selfish gain. And that's where we are today. Are we shifting the atmosphere out of the truth of the word that Jesus loved you, that he died for you, that he rose for you, that he's with you, that he'll never forsake you, that he'll be with you in your distress? That somebody missing that. He said, wait a minute. So then the governor, when he had to ask the question, he said, okay. He said, wait, whether of these would you want me to release? Who do you want me to let go? So in this week, the atmosphere was up to praising. At the end of the week, it was denying. Beginning of the week, Hosanna, Hosanna. But here, when they were asked the question, when Pilate asked the question, they said what? Barabbas. But Pilate realized the truth that his wife, he said, but wait a minute. Now what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said what? Crucified. Let him be crucified. So the truth shifts the atmosphere. The truth is, Jesus was headed for a mission.
Yes.
The truth is, Jesus was headed for a purpose. The truth is, he knew he had to die. The truth is, no matter they denied him or not, he was going to fulfill his purpose.
Daniel,
when we think about dreams, Daniel had a dream in Daniel 1:17. When the Pilate's wife said, wait a minute, I had a dream. And the dreams that God give you, what? There was truth. So here's the day. Here's the day. I just want to understand the atmosphere. The atmosphere is around us. We understand that the atmosphere shifted. We understand that it went up at the beginning of the week. By the end of the week, it was down. What does that mean for us today? The thing for us today is the atmosphere of the enemy, that there's lies, okay, that we have to understand in our atmosphere around us, the enemy is planting lies over and over and over. The enemy is trying to cause us to stumble and to fall. That's in Matthew 27 and 20. Say, they told the people. They told the people to lie. They told the people to ask for Barabbas. They told the people Jesus means you no good. They told the people that Jesus, that's that old funky stuff. They told the people that traditions are no good. They told the people, you can't trust Jesus. Look, you sick. You know you're going to be sick as long as you live. So why are you up here going to your God and you still sick? They told the people, we've been wrapped up too long. It's time for us to go do our own do, no matter what. So they went to their pleasure zone instead of their anti-pleasure zone. They allowed the dopamine to take over and there we go running. He told the people, ask for Barabbas. They lied and say that Barabbas is better than Jesus, and that's what the people believe. You know, there's an enemy, this atmosphere that runs in our mind. You know what it says in Philippians, but in Philippians said, let this mind be in you what
it's also in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said we got to be careful of the things that we be running after. What? Because it starts in our mind. Then you don't have to stop there. Look at what it said. The atmosphere of oneness in Ephesians, the Lord told us in his word that Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6, he said, wait a minute. Endeavoring what? To keep the body, the unity of the spirit to the bond of peace, the unity. There is one body, one spirit, as we are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one best, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all, but in you all. That's the atmosphere that it, because whenever we allow ourselves to be divided, whatever we allow us, we get this denomination and that denomination and that denomination. We make Christianity a nationalism, which is not. We on the left, we on the right. That's not one unity in the body. So we are far from God, and the atmosphere keeps affecting folks. One side say this, one side say that, one side say arm yourself with your guns, the other say walk in peace, but none of it's allowed in the spirit. So the atmosphere in this day, when Jesus is on his way back, has been shifted. We allow it. We need to be careful. Said the atmosphere of truth that we are joined in. Look at Ephesians, the same chapter, verses 14 through 16, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning, whereby they lie in wait to, he said, but what? Speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth about Jesus, speaking the truth about his power, speaking the truth about the love that he has for us, speaking the truth about the light that's on inside, speaking the truth that we can shift the atmosphere and not have it be shifted because what's on the outside. Say, look at this. Thing. But speaking this truth, grow up in him and all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together, compacted by every joint supply according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. So our make an increase of the body. We gotta add increase to the body for those who believe in the truth. What? That it brings edification itself. What? In love. That's what he said. We're joined in love, the atmosphere of truth, which we walk in, watch somebody yield, watch somebody run after, watch somebody seek it, watch somebody rejoice, watch somebody say Hosanna, watch them say glory to God, watch them say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. That's what he said. Then the other thing is we got to understand this atmosphere of joy and not the atmosphere of doubt. That's what James said. Thank you, Minister Lisa, for weeks ago when you said, what, count it all joy. He said, what, James said, we got to count this thing all joy, no matter what diverse temptations we fall into. He said, what? Knowing this, we know the truth that to try what? For your faith work is patience, but patience what? Working a perfect work, then you may be perfect and what? Entire wanting, you ain't gonna want nothing because God's gonna supply all of your need. Somebody said that today. Then he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that he, somebody said, why do you say yes or no? Because the Bible tells me if there's something I need to know, to ask God. The Bible tells me when I don't know it, to ask God. The Bible tells me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and these other things. So there are things that I don't know, I ask God. And the question is, yes or no, God? And if he say yes, then I'm on my way. If he say no, I stand still and steady.
Amen.
Go on. And James, he said, look, here we go again. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. So we talk about shifting the atmosphere. Don't let nobody that they surrendered to Christ try and talk to you and change what you know you should be doing.
Amen. My God.
Dr. Oz ain't the person. I'm just saying. He ain't the person. Phil, what's his name? Dr. Phil ain't the person. Oprah Winfrey ain't the person. The psychic ain't the person. An unbeliever ain't the person. A person caught in their faults and their self-centeredness, that's not the person. If you want to know the atmosphere of joy, you need to ask God, and God will send you wisdom. He'll send you somebody. There'll be a mentor. He'll send a stranger, and just have an encounter on the road. Just ask Obadiah how he met Elijah and say, hey, here's what you got to do. God will send somebody by. And did you hear Deacon Solomon's testimony? Say he'll have you stay on the call that you normally jump off so you can speak truth. You can speak wisdom to those who might know it but can't see it for the moment, so you can shift it.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Some of the atmospheres, this is not all of them, y'all. This is not all of them, y'all. This is some that we fight against. This is some that we wrestle against. I come to tell you, we've been wrestling against the shift of these atmospheres for the last 12 months, y'all. Some want to go back. Some don't want to go back. Some think it's a scam. Some think it's made up. The truth is in the pudding. People's lives are gone. People have died. 500,000 people don't die for nothing. There's some things out there that God say, now, for your household, God will direct your household. For somebody else's, he will direct theirs. But the truth of the matter, God has provided and prevailed and will prevail. Then guess what? None of us have to be afraid.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
For the atmosphere, the desire of the enemy was to shift the atmosphere to fear.
But God.
And do you not know? Too many of us have succumbed to fear. I won't speak to you. You don't have a mask, I ain't speaking. You don't believe what I believe, I ain't speaking. I ain't gonna do it. When you say give somebody a hug, I ain't gonna hug you. You say encourage somebody, I ain't gonna encourage nobody. Why? Because I'm afraid. The spirit of fear. And we know the word says God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Thank you, Lord.
So as we seek truth, we shift the atmosphere. Hallelujah, we've been able to hold on. Hallelujah, we got people coming to Bible study. Hallelujah, we're concerned one with another. Hallelujah, that guess what? We're checking in on one another. Hallelujah, that God is still providing. God is still saving. God is still healing. God is still changing people's lives. God is still giving us all the things that we need. We ain't heard nobody being kicked out of their house yet. Everybody's still in a place of living. We ain't had to come to nobody's aid. And all of this that's going on, we have not gotten a request to say, I got nowhere to live yet.
My Lord.
God has been providing.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we say, thank you, Lord God.
Man.
Hallelujah. So the atmosphere that impacts us, it's the atmosphere of Christ. Jeez. So today, can I tell you, you are a scientific marvel. You were created in a scientific way, more than the scientists that look at the atmosphere. More than the scientists that can talk about the ozone, more than the scientists who can give you every definitive chemical name. You have a name above all that, and it's Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And because of the name of Jesus in you and the Jesus that's in you, you can shift the atmosphere.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
You don't need a rocket ship.
Yes.
Where you're going. You don't need an oxygen mask where you're going. You don't need to be in some kind of anatomically correct suit where you're going. You don't even have to worry about doing so many push-ups and sit-ups so that you can handle the atmospheric pressure that you can float all over. You don't need any of that. You are a scientific creation. It's a miracle created by God. And when God descends with the shout and a trumpet that comes down, you will ascend with Christ. And we will go beyond the atmosphere.
Amen. Jesus.
We're going to a place called heaven, y'all. We're on our way, and I don't know when I'm going to get there, and I'm okay with that, but I'm on my way to a place. Elon Musk, you can't create a rocket ship. I ain't going in your rocket ship. I'm waiting till my time to get to heaven, and when I get to heaven, all your rocket ships will go to rocket ship land, and all your imaginations will go to imagination land, but everything that we have shifted the atmosphere in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be round the throne.
Yes.
Amen.
So today, will you shift? We understand that during this week, as we remember, the atmosphere kept shifting. In our lives every week, the atmosphere keeps shifting. Oh, that's why the songwriter says, I've had my good days. Mm-hmm. I've had some bad days. I've had some hills to climb because the atmosphere was shifty.
But God.
On the good days, they were holding on to Jesus. On the bad days, they were struggling in the midst of what was going on. Said, but I still, I won't complain.
I got Jesus.
So, Father God, we say thank you, Lord.
Thank you.